Hello everyone and welcome to the Round 20 Roundup stream. Hope you're all doing very well on this Sunday evening. Coming to you a little bit later given the scheduling with the NRL this week with Origin and whatnot. So games only finished about 8 p.m. But great to see a lot of you already in the chat. Hope you all had a good weekend. Feedback loop. We'll fix it up. hello to Ian, Roger Duckling, Micah, Cyril, Toby, Luke, Clipperton, Roger Duckling, Hamish, Queenslander, Laxi, Ibrahim, Paul, Mark Lawless, as always. Great to see a lot of regulars in the chat. Yeah, apologies for the slight delay. YouTube was saying live streaming isn't available right now. Try again. I was like, are you joking me? Right? Are you having a laugh right now? I'm like, I'm trying to stream here, trying to give the people what they want, hopefully. And I appreciate all of you being here as well, because I know the MasterChef finale is also on right now, which, look, I don't mind some MasterChef, but I thought we'll get the result after the stream. But I saw round one was finished. But yeah, any MasterChef fans out there, if you're watching, I appreciate it, because I know MasterChef can consume the household. Fresh cut, yes, I know you all love my hair. I'm very invested in the hair. It did get a trim this morning. It did need a trim. I even trimmed my beard as well, so I'm a little bit baby-faced, to be honest. But yeah, fresh cut, thank you very much. Nice hair, scrumptious as always, thank you, Abbas. Fresh cut, looking good from my car. Honestly, I can't. These comments just absolutely kill me. Still, it's pretty crazy. Still pretty crazy, but I appreciate it a lot. Seeing some scores in the chat as well. So Alex, fresh cut, okay. Thank you very, very much. So in terms of past scores. So I took an average of Podmasters and the Podmaster Seeded 2. So it was 1186 in Podmasters and 1207 in the Podmaster Seeded 2. So I'm going to say 1200 seems about par. I'm just going to put that in the chat and pin it so that people, if they're coming in a bit later, can see that. I ended up on 1252, so pretty happy with the week. Sorry, let me just quickly type that out. And I'll just pin that message. Yeah, it was looking like a much higher scoring week, at the beginning of the round, given we saw some big scores on, from Kalen Ponga and Greg Marzu, which is very nice as an owner. And I was a very staunch supporter of getting Ponga in most reasonable ways. And very happy that was rewarded with 137. And Marzu as well was very good, and it was Dom Young, both getting tons. So yeah, really happy with having the stack of, I guess, Marzu and KP. Kind of feels similar to the Sean Lane dual bags combo I was able to get at the end of last year, and they were really good for points. Why watch the MasterChef finale when we can watch you cook up a stream? Cyril, that is a great point. Great point. 1186, more like the Poo Masters. There was some couple of lower scores there. I think the week was kind of defined by people who didn't have Ponga. People who didn't have Ponga and had to rely on a captaincy of, like, say, Nico. I mean, if you captain SJ, obviously you'd be really happy, but Captain Nico, 74. Moses, I think, ended up on, like, somewhere in the 40s or 50s. Who else is there? I'm trying to struggle to think of people. Even Gutherson, for example, only ended up in the 40s as well. So I think if you didn't have Ponga in any way, shape, or form, you would probably copped a lower score this week. I think, like, in around that 1,000 to 1,100. If you had Ponga, that probably got you closer to that 1,200. Probably what helped me just get a little bit above in the 1,250s was SJ. So I didn't end up trading out SJ, obviously. It wasn't obvious, to be honest, because we didn't really get that news on Cleary until, like, we were hearing rumors throughout the week, and then we got that, I think, Rugby League Guru tweeted about, it's like 2:40, but we didn't get any real concrete news before 2 o'clock. And I kind of, to be honest, made my decision yesterday because the first round I did was Preston to Fifita, which obviously didn't work out with Preston scoring, but I wanted Fifita in this week. The original plan that I mentioned on Tuesday was SJ to Cleary. If that didn't happen, I was going to go Cook to Grant. I didn't actually end up doing Cook to Grant. My reasoning was that the difference between Cook and Grant, it was like about 4 or 5 points in average. And I have Cook and Reid Marnie. So it's like when Cook has his bye in round 26, I'll just play Reid for that week. And I was thinking, maybe is it worth one of my trades to bring in Grant? Is that upgrade worth it? I literally was going to, like, doing numbers, doing averages of expected points. And I worked out, like, assuming they just average about what they've been averaging so far, I'll be down 50 points for the rest of the season not getting in Harry Grant. So obviously if it works against me, it's like 100 and 150 points, maybe it was more worth it. But I figured over 8 weeks, only 50 to 100 points, I was like, maybe I can make an upgrade elsewhere. So I ended up not doing that. But what I did still want to do a second trade just to try to get in another gun. And so you might have seen on Twitter, I ended up doing AJ to Munster via duel. So I put Manu back into my 5-8. So I'll quickly show you my team and see if you guys can see that okay. Let me just have a quick look. Yep. Yeah, so here's my team for this week. So I used both my trades. It was Preston to Fifita and it was Alex Johnson to Munster. I didn't originally plan on taking out Alex Johnson. Like, his value was 515k, so it wasn't really a lot that I could... Well, he was at a pretty low selling value, but I had enough money to go to Munster. And I was already thinking of going Munster next week via Gutherson anyway, but I figured if I can maybe get him in this week instead, I can use him as a run home guy, and maybe instead that gives me flexibility next week to go Gutherson to someone else, maybe like a Nickel Klukstad looked really good again today, maybe a Val Holmes if the money works as well. So I thought maybe there are some options for me that I can do next week if I needed to, but I locked in Munster. He ended up updating to 65 and he was playing with like switch stitches above his knee as well, so obviously that didn't really help him. Like, he wasn't running the ball a lot, he was kind of just shoveling it on, but got a couple of try assists off kicks, so end up on 65. Like, I'll take it. I guess the disappointing facets of my team, so I did VC loop Ponga in the end. I was going to get a pretty bad AE anyway because I had Billy Smith, Mulitalo, this Colquhoun guy from the Sharks, who's actually, to be honest, 25 points and like his 15 minutes was fine. And I had Christian Welch on my bench, so I thought my AE and Piakura. Obviously, Piakura scored very well with 87, so I was never... Maybe I should have considered playing him because it was the Bulldogs, but it is what it is. I played Madison instead, who didn't play enough minutes for me, so yeah, a bit disappointing with Madison. But in the end, I ended up, by doing Alex Johnson to Munster, it gave me a decision between Will Kennedy and Mulitalo as my final play. I was pretty firm on playing Madison against the Titans. I thought maybe some attacking stats there. I ended up going Kennedy just because I thought his base is a little bit higher and the fullback just potentially probably has more avenues to points. In the end, it didn't matter because I'm getting Mulitalo score as my AE anyway. But, you know, I'll take the 15-plus points by playing Kennedy over Mulitalo. So, yeah, in the end, that didn't... I won out by 3 points because if I played Mulitalo, Colquhoun would have been my AE and he scored 3 less than Kennedy. So in the end, it really didn't make that much of a difference. But yeah, obviously happy with the Ponga-Mazu combo. Billy Smith, to be honest, I mean, I didn't really think about playing him. He ended up with 70. A lot of base, got a try assist, line break assist as well. Just on Mulitalo, I can see comments that Mulitalo becoming a liability. Yeah, look... the ball was not going down his side really at all. Him and Talakai scored very, very low. Warriors were really good. I'll give a quick shout out for myself as well. Scott, perfect round in the tipping. Very happy with that. I was a little bit on tenterhooks with the Eels game because I tipped at Eels and I thought, well, geez, that Gutherson try was a little bit fortuitous. And, Tanner Boyd missing that field goal from pretty good range. I thought, oh, I could be saying goodbye to my perfect round of tipping here. And thankfully, I guess, for that purpose that you'll want. So I got 7 out of 7 this week, which was nice. Hines was solid, scored that opening try. Got Simbin in the end though, so only ended up on 74. Sean Johnson, I mean, what a man. I feel bad about kind of gloating a bit about SJ, because with SJ, like you guys would have heard me on Tuesday, I was very keen to say go SJ to Cleary if Cleary was going to play this week. It just kind of happened that there was enough doubt about Cleary that I just thought, just hold SJ for this week and pray that he doesn't score too low and lose too much money. In the end, he absolutely smashed it. Got 4 try assists, bunch of gold, 131 points, absolutely killed it. And look, there'll be a big decision to make, I guess, with SJ in that. I mean, he kind of reminded everyone about, like, he is killing it so far this season, and the Warriors are just so, so good as well. And so, like, I'm seeing this comment here from Blake, SJ's draw is too good to trade him, in my opinion. I'm kind of thinking, like, I mean, obviously it helps that he scored 131 points, right? If he scored 50, would have been thinking, oh, maybe it's still worth the upgrade. But I think the Warriors playing just so well. Canberra next week is a not bad matchup. Then the bye in round 22. After that, that run home is ridiculous. And Penrith is fine. So there's a part of me that is thinking maybe I can just run with SJ Nico. Maybe even, I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't sell Nico though, to be honest. But I'm kind of thinking that in my position rank-wise, I'm hoping for some green arrows this week with 1250. That if I just want to keep pushing up the ranks, just kind of go, you know, SJ has been a great option. Do I actually need to sell him? I don't know. Interesting question here from Pure Hindsight, which is Hines to Cleary and Holt SJ. I mean, we saw the Sharks draw is not the best. I mean, we may as well, since we're talking about that game, let's let's talk about that game, because the Sharks have just continuing to disappoint against the, you know, top eight teams. They're just, it's just, it's not a coincidence that it keeps happening, right? Kind of thing. So yeah, with the Sharks, I mean, the draw coming up isn't the short-term draw isn't the best. So let's have a quick look at the draw here for the Sharks. So you've got Manly at home. I think that's a fair matchup. You can definitely be keeping your Sharks players for that. Penrith, Rabbitohs, Titans, Cowboys, Newcastle, Canberra. So, you know, Panthers, Rabbitohs, and the Cowboys, that kind of 22 to 25 spell. Even the Titans can be a bit thing on their day, but you know, it's a home game for the Sharks. So that spell isn't fantastic. So I can see maybe some people thinking about potentially looking to move on Hines for Cleary instead, who, you know, Cleary in that same time. So I'm just going to be jumping all over the screen here. So in that same period, I mean, this is the thing. Panthers draw isn't as, it's not that amazing, right? Like you've got Sharks, Melbourne, Man. I mean, Sharks, to be fair, that's a Sharks home game. That could be good actually for Cleary if they're going to score 44 points like the Warriors did. Melbourne is a home game as well. Manly, Titans, Para, Cowboys. I mean, the run home for Penrith isn't also that easy either. But yeah, there's potentially an argument that maybe you can go anti Nico, maybe go Cleary instead. But I guess even on a bad day, Hines still got 74 with a sin bin, you know. So it would still feel a little bit scary to not go Nico. And I think, I mean, it sounds like Cleary will play next week because you sound like he was very, very close to playing this week. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't play at all next week against the Dogs. It's still a good pod opportunity to go to Cleary. But yeah, I'm thinking with SJ, it's getting more and more like, I'm trying to think, like, if I was trying to advise someone else about it, would I tell them to sell SJ? And I'd be like, well, probably, like, he's not a must sell. Like, there's probably a bigger upgrade that you can do elsewhere in your team, because if the Warriors keep playing like this with that run home draw, SJ could just be the guy who can actually just outscore Cleary for the run home. So yeah, really, really happy obviously holding SJ for this week, but I will admit there was an element of luck in that, because I did think that, you know, if Cleary was going to play, I would have sold Eshe. I did see a few people do that as well, and obviously they copped. And it was a bit awkward, you know, with the Sharks and the Warriors playing before the Penrith Panthers, so you kind of had to just make that decision. That's kind of why, to be honest, yesterday I just did that Munster trade-in, because then my two trades were Fifita and Munster, and I thought, it's all locked in. I can't go to Cleary, so if Cleary plays, so be it. So I kind of just made my decision up yesterday. So happy with Eshe, though, for this week, for sure. Other aspects of the Warriors. Again, another reason why I'm not too happy, not too bad, not too happy, not too sad about getting Munster in early this week is that I think I may have mentioned it on Tuesday, but I've been thinking about selling Gutherson, I think, for this run home, because I think really apart from this Dragons game that got in round 23, I'm not sure if Gutherson is going to be a must for the run home. I think it's a pretty tough draw. We saw today that, you know, I mean, he scored that try, but it was a bit dubious, and that really did help save him. And I think he just about hit his break even, so he's going to be close about 900k, but I think he's going to have a very high break even coming into next week. So I'm kind of thinking with Gutherson at his price of 900k, like I can use that money to try to make some go for like a Nico Klukstad, for example. I really want CNK or Dallin. I think from round 23 onward, there's a nice kind of center wing option for the run home. Maybe it's to antipod Val Holmes, because you know I don't think I can get to Val Holmes budget wise. I mean, I probably could via Gutherson, but I'd rather maybe go a little bit cheaper with someone like a Nico Klukstad. And also, I don't mind doing a downgrade with Gutherson to free up some money, because you know we're seeing it here. Someone like Mulitalo. I don't know if Mulitalo is someone I'd be selling at this point now, just because I think, like, I'm just going to quickly bring up Jay Schubert's predicted price changes for Mulitalo. So he has him losing 63k. Jesus, that's not great. 63k for Mulitalo. Oop, what's going on here? Sorry, it's a bit laggy. Okay, yeah, there we go. Sorry. Yeah, so he's already 595k, losing 60k. He's going to be 530k with a 147 break even. So, I mean, I think if you're relying on him maybe as your kind of, if you've got him as like a fourth center wing that you have to play each week and you can maybe upgrade, then I can see the reason. At the moment with my center wing setup, I've got Isako, Garrick, Marzu, and Manu, which I think for now is probably fine. So like I don't have to play Mulitalo every week at this point. So maybe for now I just keep him. But yeah, obviously a bit very, very disappointing you know, very, very low scores the last 2 weeks, especially when a lot of people went for him. Yeah, so 132 break even for Gutherson. So, and so next week is a matchup against the Storm. So, you know, it could be a tough one there. But yeah, Warriors players definitely firmly in the sights, I think, for targeting for the run home, especially after their bye. Like, keep talking about it. Their draw is just ridiculous. Fanua Blake was good again today. Rockerberry had a good game. Wade Egan had a really good game too. Now, Tohu Harris, so obviously a bit low with only 38 points. Didn't play big minutes. So I didn't hear anything on the actual commentary, but then I saw some couple of things on Twitter basically saying it was like a hand complaint. Someone in the chat was saying potentially was it a... I think it may have potentially been a... Or is it his old knee complaint kind of still carrying on? I read hand complaint, so this one I'd be definitely wanting to see what news comes out with Tohu, because, you know, he only played 36 minutes. That's completely unlike Tohu. So it must have been something bothering him this game. And Jeff Shreves? Sorry, I'm going to not doing him justice. You know, the guy from FIFA. Shreves, of course. Yeah, Jeff Shreves from FIFA. He'd say he's a tough cookie and he'll carry on, kind of thing. Tohu is that kind of tough cookie. So only playing 36 minutes, there must have been something that happened there. Wrist issue, yeah, so I heard hand complaint. Wrist issue, that kind of sounds like they could be the same thing. So one to monitor with Tohu at this point. Is Tohu to AFB a sideways move given his knee issues? I think we kind of just need to wait on Tohu, because Tohu's not going to be at a super, super high value. He's 608k and he had a break even of 49. So he's going to be low 600s. I still, from memory, believe that Fanua Blake is quite expensive. Okay, no, sorry, 650k. So he will actually lose money as well with 118 break even. So it's not a bad option. We know that AFB can get those attacking stats. And for that run home, like, yeah, he could. I mean, Tohu's been getting attacking stats too. So I wouldn't say it's sideways in the sense that I think Fanua Blake's probably a better per average scorer than Tohu, but I think it's more just about, you know, that difference in averages and the trade that you need to use that. You may be able to make a bigger upgrade elsewhere in your team, but I do like Fanua Blake, I think, for that run home. In terms of the Shark side of things, we've kind of spoken about Ronaldo. Will Kennedy, you guys would have seen that. That's probably one of my not as good trade-ins, I think, in the last couple of weeks. Now, they've got Manly next week, but I think I read that he's going to have a pretty high break-even. He's going to have 102 break-even and lose 28K. So next week, I may sell Kennedy. So what I was thinking with Kennedy potentially is Munro, if he gets named next week, I can go via duels Kennedy to Munro. It gets like 300K. And then I can go Gutherson to like maybe a... I might not get Latrell straight away first week back, but maybe I go to like a Val Holmes, Nickel Klukstad type. And then the week after, I should still have a lot of money in the bank, where maybe I do then trade one of my center wings, or maybe even a, I think I've got Ryan Madison, who, if he keeps playing these kind of relatively lower minutes via duels, I think I can go Madison down to like a, I might be able to go Madison down to a fullback. Maybe I go Madison to Latrell type thing. So my initial trade thoughts are maybe both Kennedy and Gutherson out next week for a Munro, and maybe to target like another center wing. I'm kind of trying to think of where maybe I can use my trades in the higher upside positions. At the moment, Cleary against the Bulldog could be a scary proposition to not own, but I'm seeing Rawls' comment here about, you know, maybe you wait and see with the hamstring reoccurrence issue. That's totally, totally feasible. So yeah, I think I just need to make a decision on whether I go target Cleary. If I don't target Cleary, then I'll probably be using my 8 trades in my center wing, try to get some gun fullbacks in. Halves are more or less set then with Hines, SJ. I've got currently Munster and Ponga, so I think they're pretty good as well. And second or forward, I've got Nicara, Fifita, and Bateman. Bateman's been good as well. So maybe I target a front or forward like a Tino. Maybe I do actually get Grant as well. What happened to Wilton? So he picked up like I was hearing someone say ACL. Don't know if that's been confirmed, but basically he picked up a leg issue pretty early into the game, so he missed pretty much most of the game. So yeah, that's the only reason why he scored such a low score. Any other notable shout-outs? I mean, Blake Bradley, solid 45. Sione Katoa was decent with 52. But yeah, overall, just not a... I mean, Nicara got some late junk as well to get that try at the end, which was nice, but yeah, obviously that was a very junk score, a very junk time try for Nicara. But yeah, Webster said Tohu was sick before the game. Okay, that may have played a factor as well. So yeah, I mean, 36 minutes, I would not be worried about that being the norm for Tohu moving forward. Like, he's their captain. He'll play like big minutes most weeks. on the topic of the, you know, Cleary and whatnot, so Panthers, Dolphins, so Sarko, I mean, unfortunately, scored the lowest score of 38. So I'm seeing a question from Alex here already. Is Sarko a trade out? So the Dolphins have the bye next week in round 21. So, you know, I think that's the case. Let me just double check that. Yep, so Sarko has the bye next week. But I think, Alex, I think with Sarko now, he's 665K. He's going to lose some cash. Let's just have a quick reference here to Jay Schubert. So he says that Sarko is going to lose 62K with 108 break-even approximately. So he's getting down to low 600s. So, I mean, still, if you wanted to sell him, he's at some value. But I'm looking here at, you know, Bulldogs the week after, Newcastle, Roosters. I mean, honestly, the Roosters have just been very poor as well. Tigers, Cowboys, Warriors. I mean, the last two are a bit tougher, but there's some good games in the run home. I will agree with Sebastian, though, that Aitken hurts Sarko big time. Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, there was probably a time where Aitken, I think Sarko was wide open and he just dummied and run. Like, Aitken is terrible for any winger outside of him. So, yeah. I mean, if Aitken continues, if that's the way that they're going to, because Nick, this is the thing, Cody Nikorima was actually really good again today at fullback. He's actually been so good ever since he's come into the starting team. He's actually had one of his better seasons in recent years. If they continue to have Nikorima at fullback and Hamiso at left center and Aitken at right center, it's just going to keep killing Sarko. And that, like, you saw those decent matchups there. Someone like Aitken is going to be thinking, sweet, try time for me. Sarko is going to be standing outside of him like, what the hell, man? I'm trying to get total point scorer or highest point scorer for the NRL. So I can see some rationale to sell Sarko, but I'm still thinking I might just continue to hold through. Because he's shown all season that he's a good option, but I do take the concern that, you know, Aitken would continue to hurt him, and so maybe there is a world where you move him on, and, you know, he probably won't maybe be that 75 average guy he's been for the rest most of the season. He might actually instead just be like a low 60s guy, maybe it's worth the upgrade there. But he doesn't scream like a massive trade out to me, but I can see him regressing, I think, which is unfortunate, because when I first got him in round 13, he was really good up until then. Thungo time, yeah. So shout out to Isaac. I don't know if he's in the chat, but he pretty much yesterday when I was deliberating AJ to Munster, he commented AJ to Thungo. I looked at it and I thought, it's not bad, it's about similar price, but I thought, oh, let me target Munster. He's the proven gun. And then Thungo goes and gets 98. And I don't know if he's been given two try assists. No, he's only been given one try contribution. Now I think he can update definitely to get higher than that, because I think they may have given Cogger two try assists. I have a feeling Tonga could get one of those try assists, or at least another try contribution. So I would not be surprised to see Tonga update to like 100, 110. And he's just been killing it. I think he'll get up to about 700K. And I think he'll be a fairly popular trader next week as well, when you see that the Penrith Panthers are versing the Bulldogs. And they'll have all their Origin contingent back and Cleary next week as well. So, yeah, I mean, Tonga had another great game. Stefanos, you went for Tonga. Yeah, I think if you went on Tonga this week, he was only like the 17th most traded in player. I did a quick check. So he's still going to be like about 3% owned next week. So I think they'll creep up to about 5, 6% because he's just been absolutely killing it. And but yeah, he's been a great option. Yeah, he got snubbed two tries. I'm surprised he has only got one try contribution. I definitely think that there's scope for him to get more than that, because pretty sure, but at least one of the tries, distinctly I remember him setting up Jenkins, was like he was running a good amount of time before he passed it, which typically I do think they pay with the center. I went Tavare to Tonga. Stuart, that's a really, really good trade that you've done there. Tavare, I mean, he was on the wing, obviously, so a little bit different position to what he's been playing the last kind of few weeks. So only 23 points, and you've gotten Tonga, who's probably looking at season keeper at this point. Yeah, very, very good trades. Hamish, you went Taruva to Tonga. Yep, I think you mentioned doing these trades on either the Q&A stream or on Tuesday. Preston to Fifita obviously hurt a little bit. You know, Fifita only the 52. Of course, he only gets 52 once everyone trades him back in, and Preston goes and scores another try once everyone's started selling him. Classic Supercoach. But it's only about 20, 30 points in the end. But yeah, Taruva to Tonga was a great trade. Taruva, I think, yeah, just we've highlighted it a couple of times, but in easy matchups, he just doesn't get that quality ball. Tonga is not really, you know, Peachy was playing in that position today, and Peachy's no good for his winger either. So I think Taruva for sure is definitely a, if you haven't sold him already, probably is a still a sell. I know he's got the Bulldogs, but it's, you know, 500K, he's still getting him for somewhat decent value, although he's going to drop to about 450K, so hopefully we've got the money in the bank to be able to make an up worthy upgrade for him. But yeah, just these easy matchups, these centers like Tungo and stuff and Critter, they're just happy to run the ball themselves so much. Yeah, and this is a good question, the good comment from Pure Hindsight. When Cleary comes back, more play will go right-hand side, takes him away from Tungo. That's true, although Tungo did play on the right side today, obviously just to fill in for Critter. But I still think Tungo is a good option, even when Cleary's back. Maybe he regressed slightly, but he's got good base. You know, if Penrith have got all their players clicking and stuff, like, they can attack all across the park as well. So I still think Tungo is a decent option. He's going to be expensive, though, at 700k. But yeah, I think this was a good week to get him at 660k. It still seems good value. Narman, I held Preston and waited a week on Fifi. Oh, sorry, I misread. You went to Taruva to Tungo over Preston to Fifita. Okay, that actually has worked out really well for you then this week, Hamish. That's good staggering of trades there. Also from the Dolphins, don't think there's too many options. I saw someone say Isaiah Katoa basically just killed their AE. A lot of people would have been hoping for like a Pierre Kura AE or like a Christian Welch who ended up on like 54. But instead, we get like a Ronaldo Mulitalo AE. People get Isaiah Katoa 18. So yeah, not ideal for any people who are looping out there. Elsewhere from the Panthers, probably not too much more, I guess, to add. We'll just depend on Cleary. Kane saying keep SJ, fade Cleary head-to-head. Head-to-head players for sure. I do like holding SJ because that run round 23 to 26 is so good. So I think for the Warriors. So I think head-to-head players, you can definitely maybe have some advantage going SJ. I think if you're a head-to-head player, it's scary, but maybe there's scope to go SJ and Cleary. Maybe you go Hines to Cleary, for example, as if you've got those trades in the bank. I think Cleary's had a lot of home games in that period. So I don't mind actually going maybe SJ and Cleary as your halves combo if you're a head-to-head player. If you're overall and your trades are running low, it might just be easiest to stick with Hines for the rest of the year. Another thing with Cleary as well in the Panthers is that they could rest the players again maybe in the very, very last week, round 27, just because, you know, they're sitting pretty at the top of the ladder, I'm pretty sure anyway. Ivan doesn't really pop. He's seen that, you know, he can play his kind of, you know, half of his A team and reserve grade guys, and they can fill in and do a job. So there's potentially a risk that Cleary maybe doesn't play that very last week either. Dylan Edwards, solid 67. Moses Leota, really like that try celebration as well. But yeah, overall, pretty comfortable in the end for the Penny Panthers. We'll talk about the Eels Titans just while we're talking about halfbacks and stuff. So Moses is a bit lower this week, only 44. But if it was a bit of an odd game that, you know, Eel scored like 25 points, but didn't really go through the main guys. Like, you know, Hands set up Campbell Gillard. Bryce Cartwright kind of just went through himself from dummy half for one of the tries. Gutherson's try was kind of a pure solo effort and a pretty impressive dive for the corner. But I was a bit surprised, to be honest, that they gave that. And what was the other try? Who scored the other try? Pennacini. He was kind of going back against the grain kind of thing. So yeah, like, it wasn't like your classic kind of, you know, Moses putting people through holes or Gutherson doing the same either. We'll quickly pause here and take some questions as well before I start getting a bit more into the Parramatta game. What is your rank and what are you hoping to reach? So I think I'm literally just outside 5k at the moment, Stuart. I'm hoping this week we'll 1252 get some green arrows into maybe 4,000 something. At this point, honestly, I don't really have a target. I think it's just try to get as high as I can at this point, because I've kind of been meandering around this kind of between 5 to 7, 8K for most of the year. I mean, I had some big dips at some points as well. So I'm just trying to claw my way back to see how high I can get. If I somehow manage like a top 2,000, I think I'd be pretty happy with that. If it's top 3,000, I think I'll take it given where I've been for most of the season. So again, another reason why I'm thinking maybe just with trades, just try to, as much as I can, bring in some origin guns like Munster and stuff, then cool, I'll do it. But maybe see where I can take some opportunities. So maybe going, you know, instead of going Grant this week, who obviously we'll touch on the Storm game later, he ended up doing very well. But you know, maybe I go a bit different. Maybe I try to add kind of like the Nicol Klukstads, who are still highly owned, but, you know, players like that, I think, who could hurt me. Maybe just try to see where I can be a bit more safe, trade in those guys who can protect my rank, and then maybe try chase a few pods. I went pod chasing with Madison. It's probably not quite worked. As Cyril says here, Madison has been awful for me. Yep, he's not been great as a trade in a few weeks back, and I can see myself trading him in a few weeks as well. Another reason being that Parramatta's draw run home is not that easy, and also they have that bye in round 27. So if you can maybe slowly offload Eels players, then, you know, maybe there's scope for you to be able to do that. So yeah, that's a general comment, I guess, on the Eels. Another reason why I'm also thinking of selling Gutherson next week, because I think I found this season and in prior years, what hurts me is that a player scores very well, and then I think, oh, they're scoring well. Yes, the draw gets a little bit tougher, but, you know, they've been doing well. So, you know, kind of just stick with them. And then sooner, and then 2 weeks passes, they go 50-50 and then they lose like 150K. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it was obvious. You know, the draw is getting tough. I should have moved on, type thing. That in the past has hurt me. A very, very small example of that also this year was Reece Walsh. I didn't move Walsh on when his draw, I remember when everyone had Reece Walsh at the beginning of the season, his draw started to get a little bit tougher. That was the best way to switch to a Gutherson, who scored 100 that week. I didn't do it, and then I did it the week later, and it just didn't quite work out for me. I'm kind of happy though with Gutherson to cop that, you know, look, next week is Melbourne. Next week is the Cowboys. Sorry, I keep saying Melbourne. It's the Cowboys, but it's the Cowboys away. I'd say that's a fairly tough matchup the way that the Cowboys are going. Then it's Melbourne at Marvel Stadium. Sure, the Dragons at Combank Stadium is a great matchup in round 23, which I'd love to have Gutherson. But then it's Broncos. To be fair, Roosters and Roosters in round 25. I'm not going to get biased in the way the Roosters are playing like poop at the moment. So round 25 could be a good matchup as well. Panthers. I mean, look, Panthers, the Eels do tend to sometimes fire up for those games. So I can see him being a hold, but I'm thinking that draws are a little bit tricky, so maybe I can take the opportunity and maybe jump onto someone else potentially. Another reason why I'm like Madison, just, I think Madison ended up playing like maybe 45-ish minutes. And to be honest, I thought Madison was good when he played. Like, he had some good strong carries. He was kind of very regularly getting over 10 meters every hit up, but like, I just needed him to play more minutes. He only ended up playing, yeah, he played 45 minutes. When I bought him, I was hoping he'd be playing that 55 to 60 off the bench. Not quite the case. But anyway, it is what it is. I'm just going to quickly check the chat. 1360 with captain on Nico Bahadmulatalo. Simon, that's a fantastic score. I think the highest I've seen at the moment is like a 1380. I'm sure there's someone out there who's gone like 1450, 1500 plus, because there was a lot of big scores still this week. Let me know in the chat, guys, as well. What's the biggest score that you've seen so far? On the Titan side of things, so their draw is fairly tough. You know, Tino was benched, but still was very, very impressive when he came on. So Tino is still someone I think is worth targeting. As is Fifita, I mean, it was a, you know, only 52 points, but we have to remember that these guys were backing up from Origin. And Fifita had a bit of doubt coming into this week as well, so he may not have been 100%. I still think Fifita and Tino is still definitely worth trading in. Phil Samuel solid with 63. Issue with the Titans, to be honest, Camperera has actually been just a really good overall long-term option this season. Like, he's got some good moments in him, scored a double, and he made like that little break towards the end of the game when, you know, Titans were chasing a field goal. But yeah, I think for me, the draw for the Titans is fairly tough for the run home. So I think ideally, I think the forwards, I think Tino and Fifita is kind of where I'd just be focusing. I don't really think there's many other options I'd consider out of the Titans. Just quickly jumping back to the Eels, Brendan Hand. So it's been confirmed now that Josh Hodgson is out for the rest of the season. So I'm not sure, sorry, what Hand's price is at the moment. But if you are looking for a downgrade still in that position, he's 334K. So he'll go up to about 350, which is not a bad price. You know, let's say if you've still got Sonny Luke as a bit of an 80 nightmare, maybe Brendan Hand's could be an option, although does have that round 27 buy you just need to be mindful of. And just to rub it in even more finally on this game, Bryce Cartwright, 87. The fact that I bought Matt Dury, or had Matt Dury in round one over Bryce Cartwright, is still annoying me to tremendous ends, because I cannot believe Matt Dury sitting in my team as enough. And the guy I could have got at the same price is 570K and has been averaging 60 plus for the entire season. 56. Anyway, we won't get into that. We don't need to get into the sad state of my team. Let's see some comments from the chat here. Is Gutho owned a line break for his try? Not given one, but I can't remember. Yeah, so the way that it was scored was... so he tried to offload, missed it. There was a Titan's hand in there, so it was a six again. They got tapped back by the Eels. Yeah, I don't know if you can call that a... I don't fully understand, fully know the rugby league rules, but I don't know if that would be considered a line break per se. Hopefully it's a line break. I'll take 10 extra points, but the way that it was scored, it doesn't seem to suggest that it was a it wasn't off a kick, but it was a bit messy and then a bit of a scramble. So I'm not sure if it'll count as a line break. Fifita was pretty much a passenger this game. Yeah, look, he was pretty quiet overall. Like he was running a lot of decoys this game, so just not really quite getting those extra tackle busts and run meters and stuff that we would hope for. But still happy with getting Fifita back in the team now. At least I can watch Titans games a little bit easier. My mate has a 1488. Yeah, I thought there'd be some big scores. Head up a man. I sold Holmes to Karaz round 13. Let's talk about our good friend. Actually, you know what? Let's not talk about our good friend. Let's talk about our nemesis, Val Holmes. 93 wins. Had a fantastic game again today. Put a tweet out. So round 1 to 13, Val Holmes averaged 64. Solid. Since 90% of people sold Val Holmes in round 13, when he had round 14 was backing up from Origin, round 15 was a buy, round 16 he was missing, all the good logic to get rid of him, he's averaged 112 points. Congrats, Val Holmes, on your 112 average. God damn it. Couldn't get any of his points. Couldn't get any of his big scores, which is, anyone who's held Val, you'd be absolutely laughing. But I think the majority of us are probably just sitting there in the dark, crying in the corner about, just seeing all the lovely points that Val's scoring and we don't own him anymore for that. But, I mean, I have to quickly check Jay Schubert and what his predicted price changes are, because I have a feeling Val is going to be over 900k next week. Let's have a quick look. Because he scored 93 and I don't think he had a very high break even at all. Yeah, so he's got Val Holmes for a... Okay, sorry, he's got him for a 10k price change with an 81 break even. So he won't go into 900s, but he'll go to 860k, which is a lot of money for Val Holmes when at the start of the season he was 720k. It just feels like, oh, paying up 860 for Val just feels disgusting. But I mean, you can't really ignore these numbers, like a 5-round average of 100, 3-round of 119. Draw run home purely on matchups isn't amazing. But I still do think Cowboys players are worth investing in because Parramatta is at home. Titans is in Queensland at Cbus. Broncos is at home. Sharks is at home. Look, the Sharks concede points to top eight opposition. So that's a good game. Then it's the Dolphins at Suncorp. Then it's Penrith away. But again, that's the last week of the season. Maybe Penrith rest their players. So I think if you break down each of those games, I still think those are really good games to target, Cowboys players. Like, I know Drinkwater's going to get up to $1 million, but Val Holmes at 860K could still be a good option. If you're looking for a 2RF, people like me who own Madison and you may be wanting to go a little bit different, I think Jeremiah Nanai is still a good option. He scored in this game as well. It was a fairly low-scoring game overall, but what did Nanai end up on? Yeah, 68 points, which is solid. Drinkwater, again, just keeps putting scores together. He had a very quiet first half. I think it was on like 16 at first half, and I was literally thinking to myself, oh my god, is this the week Drinky goes low, can he stop tormenting us? And then he just scores a, I don't know what Manly were doing, they weren't defending, but Drinky just runs straight through and I'm just thinking, oh god. And then he got some tackle busts and ended up on 86, and I'm like, great, thanks Drinkwater. But look, I don't know if you want to try get to Drinkwater now still at his price, but I just read out those matchups and a lot of good home a lot of the tough games are at home, which is one of the benefits. And I think at home, I think Cowboys are pretty, they're building a bit of a fortress there. So I still like Cowboys players worth investing in. What do I do with Ruben Cotter? What happened? So I think Cotter was benched coming into the game, which was mentioned in a couple of, Adam Stiles from 365, from NRL Supercoach Talk, had mentioned that he was thinking that Cotter could get benched. I mean, if you own Cotter, he's not really been a... I mean, there was a lot of clamour from at the beginning of the season, but I feel like he's not really been a super relevant super coach option until then, like an average of 56. I'm looking at some of his scores. I mean, just before the Origin period, he was putting a couple of good scores together, like from round 7 to round 12, 80, 76, 29, 90, 54, 70. Like, there's a few pretty decent scores there. I mean, he's 518k, so there's not a lot of value in him. So I think if you own Cotter, he's going to be sub 500k. Could be a sneaky pickup for people, but I think if you own Cotter, to be honest, I think Caleb, I'd probably just hold him at this point. It's a pretty good run home. He can get some attacking stats and could just be a good depth option as well for you. can't sleep at night now, man. Yep. Val Holmes has done that to all of us, hasn't he? Tommy, you've hit the nail on the head here. Holmes is going to push his average up to 75 to start next season. Expensive, And so we'll all be roped in again, 100%. He's going to get to a 75 average, and we're going to be like, remember Val Holmes in his run home averaged like 95 points. Cowboys are probably going to get another, I mean, they've had it the past couple of seasons. They're probably going to get another first opening 10 games, which are like 8 of them are at home, and then 2 of them are in, the other 2 are in like Brisbane and Gold Coast. And then you'll be like, well, look at the draw, got to get Holmes again, and he'll be fine, and then during Origin, he'll kick it up a notch. But so, anyway, I'm not bitter or salty about it, but yeah, Val Holmes, yeah, it's been a bit frustrating just watching him kill it, but still a good option, I think, to trade in, and I do still think he's a top 4 centre wing. So, I could technically do Gutherson to Val Holmes next week via duels, which I'm kind of tempted by, if I'm being honest. So, yeah, I might be able to get Val in next week, potentially. Hi, man. What do I do with Jerry Marshall King? Simon, yeah, so Dolphins are on the bye next week, but I think at this point, if you don't have Grant, I would just sell Jerry Marshall King to Grant, in my opinion. I think Jerry Marshall King at this point, just the way that his injury is and it's just lingering, and it sounded more serious as well. You know, he's at 600K, so he's still at a value that's decent to sell to. Yeah, I think with JMK, I'd probably sell him at this point. Elsewhere from the Cowboys, I mean, probably not much else to touch on. Robson was solid. On the Manly side of things, I mean, again, you know, only scoring 8 points, so, you know, not too many massive scores here. Garrick was solid with 50. Olakau'atu was okay with 59, but Lachlan Croker was really the only one who did well with 82. So yeah, it's a bit hard to kind of see where you'd maybe fit in, you know, maybe the Manly players. They do have a pretty good run home as well, so I still think Garrick is good. Otherwise, yeah, Cherry Evans maybe is a halfback pod, but I think when you've got those other 4 guys in Moses, SJ, Cleary and Hines all goal kicking, I kind of feel like I still prefer all those 4 above Cherry Evans. Seeing some questions about the Melbourne Storm, so let's quickly jump to that game. So Simon, you're saying you already have Grant and you have Jerry Marshall King. I think you can maybe just look with Grant. You don't really need to kind of, someone remind me if you've seen this quote, but I read a quote on Twitter saying that Bellamy was suggesting he may still look to rest players in the last 1 or 2 rounds of the season. So I'm not going to scaremonger, that is just something that could happen. I still think it's so early, you know, we're still a few weeks away, you know, in round 21, that if you just want to say, I wouldn't say enough out Jerry Marshall King, because I still think if you can get a player who is still playing some minutes, I still think it's worthwhile. You know, maybe not Brendan Hands, purely because round 27 he has the bye, and that could be a week where Harry Grant does get rested maybe. Instead, you could go for maybe Wade Egan. You know, he had a really good game today. I think he's still at a fairly good price, and he could be a nice little pod for your run home, given that, you know, they've got that really, really good draw on the run home. Yeah, he's 480K. So, like, Jerry Marshall King down to him is, like, making you around 100K. So that's not a bad move, potentially, to make free up some money. You could go all the way down to maybe, like, a, you know, Sonny Luke, but I won't recommend Sonny Luke. Reed Miney's 500K. To be honest, I think I'd rather maybe just get Wade Egan for a little bit cheaper with that better run home. But yeah, I think I'd go down in price to maybe a mid-ranger like an Egan, just so you've maybe got some depth. Otherwise, you can maybe consider going all the way down to like a... you could go down to Harrison Graham as well, to be honest, as well. You know, just the replacement from the Dolphins. yeah, the only thing with Hands, as Hamish is suggesting, is just that round 27 buy. So there's potentially just that slight risk that maybe you miss out on having a dummy half in round 27, but that's still a while away, so I still feel like he's probably a better downgrade purely for making money, because he's cheaper than both Reed and also Wade Egan. Who out of the Cowboys would you target? So just quickly touch on this question from Hamish. You mentioned Drinky and Holmes as number 1 targets in their positions. I think other players from the Cowboys that I'd be targeting, if you didn't have them, would be Nanai. I think good 2RF pod, not too expensive. I think he's in the 500s. Murray Taulagi, I think, would be another one. I know he didn't really score too well. 25 points, obviously not fantastic, but he has got a bit of a ceiling as well. So he could be maybe an option to target. Probably one of them too, I think, is where I'd sit. But I think really, it'd be Nanai, Holmes, and Drinkwater. You know, the top 3 guys who scored today, they're probably the 3 best ones in my opinion. If he's a head-to-head player, Hands could work. Yeah, if you're a head-to-head player, Simon, then yeah, probably Brendan Hands could be fine for you. Eyebrows on point. Oh, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Not that I did anything to them, but thank you. 12.52 from Cameron, backed out of Johnson captain last minute and left it on Hines. Well, I also scored 12.52, so twinning. But yeah, you could have got a lot more, unfortunately, if you did captain SJ. On the Storm Roosters game, I mean, the scoreline flatters the Roosters, if I'm being honest. Like, they scored tries at the very, very end of the game to boost up the score, but really the Storm kind of just very comfortably beat them. So again, Munster, I spoke about him a little bit quiet, not his biggest game, but he did have some, I think he had stitches up just above his knee, so wasn't running the ball a lot, but still got a couple of tries of kicks, ended up on 65, happy with that. Harry Grant was really, really good. About 20 minutes into that game, I was regretting not going Cook to Grant, purely because Grant was trying to run the ball a lot. And I thought, okay, this has been the first time in a few weeks where we've seen Grant really run the ball a lot. Got a try assist for Jerome Hughes and scored a try of his own. And I was thinking, you idiot, you should have just gone through with Cook to Grant. But in the end, to be honest, 95 is obviously a big score, but my goat, my king, Reid Marnie, ended up on 64. So I'm like, well, it's only 30 points less than Harry Grant. And he's about 150K cheaper. But yeah, I still think Grant is 100% the hooker you want to target for the run home if you do need to make moves there. He was a very popular trade in this week. I expect he'll be again next week as well, given that he's now coming off a 95. There was a question I was seeing before about Xavier Coates. So someone was saying, this is from Roger. Should I hold or sell Coates considering the hat-trick he scored? Well, he did score a hat-trick last week as well. He does have this in a game. I mean, he's extremely attacking stat reliant. Like, he needs a hat-trick, and he got 77 points. One of them didn't have a line break, but still, a hat-trick and 77 points isn't what you would prefer. But, I mean, with Coates, you can maybe just play him on matchups. He's not at a super, super high value, 474K. Storm have a kind of a mixed draw, I'd say. Like, next week is good against the Knights. They've got Dragons and Titans towards the back end. Canberra could be okay as well. Although, to be honest, Canberra seem to be one of the few teams that can go down to Melbourne and consistently win. So, I mean, there's probably two or three matchups I'd like to play Coates. The rest I probably wouldn't want to. So I think if you want to upgrade him, I think he's fine to move on. I don't think he's a must keep, but if you don't need to sell him, I don't think you have to. So in terms of the Storm, yeah, probably Munster, Harry Grant. Nick Meaney was solid, 72 points. So I think if you've held on to Meaney, you know, he wasn't getting sold, and I could see the reasons for it, given that, he kind of just hasn't really been hitting that early season form. He was getting about 70-75, but 72 points you'll be happy with. Who else scored well there? Yeah, Jerome Hughes was good as well, but I still think Hughes is not quite on that level of the SJs, the Hines, the Clearys, or even a Moses, to be honest, in my opinion. Welch was good, 54, solid. So to be honest, I'll probably keep Welch for the rest of the season. If you asked me at the beginning of the season that Christian Welch, who I started with, would be there through the whole rest of the season, I'd be telling you you're joking, but it is what it is. He's going to be there. And look, if he keeps bumping out like 55, if I have to call on him, it's fine. I'll take it. Naz wasn't at his best, had a couple of drop balls. Not really much else, I guess, out of that Storm. Probably the relevant players, I think, are going to be Munster, Grant, and Meaney. On the Rooster side of things, so there's a question here from Paul. Roosters have a good run home. Any chance that they improve? Great question. I think I'm a Roosters fan, so I've been asking myself that all season. Are they finally going to turn it around? I mean, I don't know if that run home is as good as it looks. You got Titans, Broncos, Manly, Dolphins. I mean, there's a few good matchups there, I guess. But do I have faith that they'll turn it around? Probably not. I don't know. Just no good in attack. Brandon Smith came back, but that didn't really help anything. If anything, sometimes he might be the issue as well. I think the main problem is that our halves, Keary and currently Sandon Smith, they're not really halfbacks. They're both kind of 5'8". So the last tackle options were really, really bad from the Roosters. So that doesn't help things. So, like, I know Teddy may be someone people might be looking at for the run home. There's a question here from Danny, which is, what fullbacks would you target next round? Teddy might be an option that people go down to because I think he's in the 600Ks. I mean, Teddy, to be fair, has been good the last kind of few rounds from a Supercoach point of view. You know, I think he's got a five-round average of... Yeah, he's got a five-round average of 85, which is pretty solid, but that did include a ton against... back-to-back tons, but it was against the Dragons and the Bulldogs, like the two best matchups you could probably have these games on the run home, like, they don't scream like Teddy's someone I'm going to want to have. And I know the Roosters can do those end of season run homes, but I just don't see it happening this year. There's a different vibe, I guess, about the club. There's always been excuses the last kind of few seasons, whether it's injuries, and they seem to turn it around. I just can't see it happening for the run home. So I don't know. I don't know if I'd be looking to invest too much in the Roosters players. I mean, Manu, I'll probably keep for the time being. Obviously, I was very happy with him at fullback. 79 points. Did get a very junk try assist to Tupou at the end there. Shout out to Tupou as well, who's now equal with Minicello as the Roosters' top all-time try scorer, which is a humongous achievement. To be fair, Tupou's put in some good scores as well. So if you wanted to jump on a pod center wing, maybe Tupou's the option for you. We know that he's a historically good super coach option. Manu, I think I'll keep for the time being. He's still putting up some good scores. Billy Smith, I mean, I'm 70 points, I'm shocked. I still have Billy Smith in my team. Coming into this week, I was thinking Billy Smith, I might move on to Munro next week for some funds. But I'm thinking now instead, maybe I move on Will Kennedy, because Will Kennedy's starting to go down in price and I can make more money out of that trade. We talked about the Roosters' decent run home. Maybe I just keep Billy Smith for the time being. He's pretty low value at like 360K. So if you're a Billy Smith owner still like myself, maybe you can just kind of hold him and maybe use him as your pod center wing. But Danny, to answer your question on fullbacks to target for the next round, we think Latrell will be back next week. It's a home game against the Broncos. Latrell, I'm kind of happy to wait another week on him and maybe get him round 22. I'd like to get him through a week, see how he goes. He'll have a fairly high break even of 130. And then round 22, he's got the West Tigers. So Latrell is definitely someone I think you might want to have. And then I think Drinkwater, if you can get Ponga in your fullback, I think Ponga, to be fair, if you can run Ponga and Latrell, I think, and then your 5'8" is say Munster and Cody, I think that's a pretty good setup on your fullbacks and your 5'8"s. Suoli'i as a good pod option. One good thing with Suoli'i is that he's goal kicking. So, you know, scored 48 points. I think it'd be interesting to see what happens with the team list next week, because if Teddy's back at fullback, Manu comes in at center, Suoli'i on the wing, I do like. He was playing center this week because of the, you know, being, because Teddy was out, but, you know, Suoli'i goal kicking, 394K. He had a break even of 11, so he's going to go up to like low 400s. So again, if you look, these are maybe the kind of downgrades that you could do. We're not going down straight to enough, but you're going down to like these 300-400K guys. You know, let's say you're sick of Mulatalo and he's going to be in the 500s. Mulatalo down to Suoli'i gets you like 150K plus, and you use that as your upgrades. I don't mind that, those kind of, you know, downgrades and stuff. But yeah, Suoli'i could be an option, but I just don't know. I'm a Roosters fan, so I'm probably a bit more biased about it, but I don't love how we're going at all. Whether they turn it around or not, they'll always show up to ruin my Souths. Well, I mean, Cody Walker put, what, 200 plus points in the very last week of the season? Was it 2020? I think it might have been 2020. So yeah, look, the Souths can definitely smash the Roosters on their day for sure. Other games we haven't spoken about. We haven't spoken about the Knights Tigers yet. How can I have? To be fair, I did speak about a little bit of Ponga and Marzio at the beginning, so I won't spend too much time on this game. I guess shout out to any Phoenix Crossland owners out there. I know there are a few. I think Guru is one. I think Ryan from Supercoach 365 is one as well. I think he's just been like one of those just like random cash cows who's just done super well for you. He's got dual status. He'll keep making money as well. So yeah, shout out to any Crossland owners. He has a go. He's a goer for sure. KP though, yeah, I think 137 points again looks fantastic. So Danny, you're asking what fullbacks would you target, or better off moving KP down going for Munster? I mean, so in your situation, I think you could maybe just get Munster, because the fullback situation doesn't seem crystal clear, whereas I think Munster is like sweet, you can just lock him in for the rest of the year. Look, just on Ponga, so let's have a quick look at his predicted price changes. He did update already to 137. He was 127 originally. Jesus, he's going to go up about 78K. Call that maybe 80K now with this extra 10 points he scored. He's going to go up 80K, and he's going to have a approximately minus 26 break even. Ponga is getting up there in terms of price. Like, he'll be 840K with a negative break even. My goodness. I don't know. I think is it too far to say Ponga's a must have for the run home? I mean, you guys know I've been last maybe week or two, I've been really, really keen on getting in Ponga. And yeah, I think just the matchup this week obviously was one of the big reasons, but Melbourne next week is fairly tough, but it's a home game at least. And then wasn't goal kicking the best, did miss a fair few goals, which didn't help things. But, you know, on the run home, he's got Dolphins, he's got Bulldogs, he's got Dragons, he's got Sharks at home. Look, we know the Sharks can lead points on their day as well. Like, overall, I think Melbourne next week is his toughest game left. So I think really, Ponga, you can just kind of rely on him for the rest of the season. So, yeah, really, really liked Ponga. Gregosaurus could have scored more. Yeah, exactly what Hamish is saying here. Could have scored 120 if he decided to run towards the 5 meters of space at the trial line instead of straight into Buller. Amen. I was like, what are you doing, Greg? What are you doing? I need more points. But anyway, 102 points, I'll take that. Again, was very high on Mazu as a trade in this week. 102 points, so yeah, very, very happy with that. Dom Young scored well, obviously a nice pod, but he is a bit of a roller coaster. I still think I'd prefer going to Mazu for the run home. Someone saying Fitzgibbon, a potential option as a 2RF. I mean, maybe he can get those attacking stats. He had a good game, I think, a couple of weeks ago, but I don't know. I don't know if I can trust it. Maybe I need to get over some biases. What is he? He'll be about 500. He'll be about 510K. I mean, to be fair, the beginning of the season, he was actually doing fairly well. 74, 72, 66, 72, 54, 62, 51, 79, 60. Like, some pretty good scores there. To be fair, when he's been playing 80 minutes this season, he's actually scored quite well. So in his 80-minute games, I'm sure if I did some quick numbers here, so his season average is 61, but in that season average of 61, he's got a 51, a 56, and a 48-minute game where he scored 37, 34, and 21. I'm sure if you take those out, he's probably closer to averaging about 65. So to be honest, at a low 500, Fitzgibbon, can't believe I'm saying it, he could be a nice little pod. Could be a good 2RF for your option, Cyril. And yeah, so I actually don't mind that as a shout. On the Tiger side of things, so Buller obviously was unbelievable this game, you know, a couple of try saves, scored a try of his own as well. So it's kind of hard to say what to do with Buller now at this stage. He's got the Dragons next week, so I kind of think if you've got Buller, just play him for one more week and then maybe you can move him on after that. Very happy with Bateman. Sorry, my voice came out a little bit weird there. So Bateman going back to the edge has really been helpful. He's playing 80 minutes, racking up his base doesn't seem to have gone down, but those ability to get some attacking stats and tackle bus and things has increased. So happy with Bateman, you know, 69 points. I think he's, you know, staying on the edge will be a good 2RF option for the run home. And to be honest, I don't really think there's much more from the Tiger side of things to in terms of investing in. Maybe Isaiah Papali, he had a good run to set up Buller's try. So yeah, maybe IPAP, but I think Bateman is probably going to be a little bit safer for you. Final game I'll quickly touch on because I'm closing in on an hour, was the Bulldogs Broncos. In the end, fairly comprehensive win from the Broncos. Piakura thankfully got some attacking stats, 87 points, so he should make some money. In hindsight, I would have played him obviously over Madison, given the better matchup, but I thought Madison maybe was safer, and Madison had a good matchup as well, but obviously that didn't quite work out. And on the who else was there from the just on the Broncos, I know people may be looking at Reece Walsh as a fullback option if you are looking for one next week as a trade-in. The only problem with the Broncos is their run isn't that great. You've got Rabbitohs, Roosters, I mean, fair, Roosters might not be that bad, but you've got Rabbitohs, Roosters, Cowboys, Parramatta, a bye, Canberra away, and then Melbourne. Just doesn't scream like the best run, so I'm not sure if Walsh will be a guy to consider, because when he's had tougher matchups this season, so say his matchups against, to be fair, he scored 105 against the Cowboys in round 2, but Cowboys were very bad at the beginning of the season. But 23 against the Rabbitohs early the season, a 38 against Parramatta, 42 against Penrith, 65 against the Sharks. Like, he's just not, 67 against Melbourne. He's got some decent scores, but just not probably those bigger 80, 90 plus point games that you want to see out of a fullback. So I think Walsh probably won't be one I'll be looking to target next week, if even though he's going to be back next week. His suspension got his suspension's over. He'll be back next week. On the Bulldog side of things, I'm not sure how many people you were looking to invest in. I mean, Reid Marnie, I was happy with 64 points this week. But look, honestly, I'm not playing Reid. When Cook comes back next week, I'll just play Cook every week pretty much. And Reid Marnie can just sit on my bench. But when I needed him, thank you, Reid, for your 64 points with a try assist, line break assist for Preston. Preston, 81 points, so he scored very well this week. But if you I still think it was fine to upgrade him, to be honest, to Fifita. Outside of that, I mean, Burton fairly low with only 44. And yeah, Blake Wilson fairly low game, only 22 points. So yeah, it's kind of, I guess it was a pretty routine win for the Broncos. But yeah, so that's all the games. We literally just hit an hour. I think we'll do two or three questions, and then we'll wrap up there. So let's see if there's any other questions coming in. But guys, if you did enjoy the stream tonight, do please give it a like as well. It really does help me out, and I do appreciate it a lot. I will also say, just while in the little interim, while I do wait for some questions, so I will be available next week for a stream on Tuesday, just a normal trade targets preview stream. But that might be my last stream for potentially a couple of weeks. So I'm actually going on holiday as well on Saturday for a couple of weeks. So I'll see if I can still do videos while I'm overseas, but it might be a bit difficult. If not, I'll try just do my normal Twitter stuff or my newsletter. I'll still try to do the newsletter to try and get some content out to you guys anyway. But yeah, next week will just be the Tuesday stream, and then it'll be probably not, like, I won't be able to do a Thursday one. I don't think I can do a Friday, and the lockout's on Thursday anyway. And then no roundup and stuff. So yeah, apologies for that. But gotta go on my holidays. If you were a vampire, who was the first NRL player you would bite? That is a interesting question from Colin. Now, if I'm a vampire, do I get to like get their powers or something? Like absorb their NRL talent? Because if so, I'd probably just bite Nathan Cleary or something. Ian saying Gutho to Drinky and Moses to SJ, thoughts? I like getting in Drinky, even despite the high price. I mean, I still think it's an upgrade, to be honest. I still think Drinky would outscore Gutherson on the run home. SJs will have Canberra, then the bye, then that amazing run home. I don't hate it. Don't hate it, Ian. I think both of those guys are better options, but it might hurt you in the short term. But I think if you're looking at it for the rest of the season, I think you'll probably get more points doing those trades. Is Murray an okay shout for the run home as a pod? Yeah, so obviously Rabbit is on the buy this week, so nothing to comment on them. But yeah, Murray, just quickly on Murray, he is very, very cheap. He is 482K. 482K for Murray. Scored 86 last week when he last played against the Warriors. We know that they've got a pretty good run home. Oh, the Rabbitohs have got a few good games against the West Tigers and the Dragons and Newcastle in round 22, 24, and 25. I mean, to be honest, it's just, like, at the price, I just don't think you can do wrong. Like, because he's still Cam Murray, who'll get you, like, kind of 50 points on most weeks and has that attacking upside. So I think if you're just going for a pod, if you're just going for a downgrade in your 2RF, I don't really think you can go wrong with Murray at sub 500K. Like, I think he's just a perfectly fine trade-in. With the uncertainty around the best fullback, would it be better to have Ponga in fullback and try getting Cody and Munster as the 5-8 combo for the run home? Yeah, James, I think that's to be honest, in hindsight, I've sold Cody now, but I probably would rather just have, both Cody and Munster as my 5-8s and have Ponga as one of my fullbacks, and then have the other fullback maybe be Latrell. Could even be someone like you could even have one of the center wing fullback types, like a Garrick or a Nicol Cooksard. Like, I think you could even do that for your run home second fullback. But no, I think what you've said is probably correct. Alex is saying, I have Nikorima as my second hooker. Is he worth trading down to create funds, possibly to Tom Starling? Starling sounds a bit of a random one, if I'm being honest, Alex, just because I don't think he's been starting any game at all this season. I think Zach Wolford's been preferred. Starling is kind of averaging about 38. He's 285K, so sure, he's actually a downgrade who will play most weeks, but can get those very low scores potentially. Not a bad run home either. I don't hate it, but Nikorima has been good. So if you could afford to hold Nikorima, I think that's a good option for you. But if he's your best downgrade in your team, then I can see some reason for it. Get 300K out of it. Below par, thoughts on Brimson? I have him and Kennedy and can trade out either. Yeah, look, I don't think either now, just seeing the way that the Sharks are going the last couple of weeks, I don't think either are run home full season fullbacks. The issue with Brimson is that the run home is quite tough. I mentioned it earlier with the Titans, so I'm not sure if Brimson is a guy I'd be looking to have. So I think if you had to trade one of those two out, I'd probably trade out Kennedy before Brimson, because at least Brimson's got a bit more base. And we know the Titans, I mean, look, the Sharks can also score points, but I think points from the Titans are probably more likely to be focused around their spine and Tino and Fifita. From the Sharks, it could come from anywhere. Kennedy might not get amongst the points if they score them. I'll take one last question, then we'll wrap it up here, guys, because I need to go to bed soon as well. Murray or Kalomatungi? So just a quick check on Kalomatungi's price. Let's see here. It's about 100K more expensive. He has been better this season than Murray, from a Supercoach standpoint. Part of me kind of thinks to take Murray, just take that 100K discount, just and hope that Murray just, you know, Murray can get those attacking stats. He was very good in Origin as well. I think I would just take Murray, if I'm being honest. All right, guys, I think we'll wrap up the stream there, just because it's getting quite late as well. We've been going for an hour, but thank you everyone for tuning in. Do please consider subscribing as well to the channel if you haven't already. Do give the stream a like on the way out if you did enjoy it. I'll put the audio out for this as well on the audio platform, so people who are listening to this on their Monday morning commute, hello and good night for me on this, from Sunday night. But glad you guys hopefully enjoyed that one, and I'll catch you in the next one. See ya.